picture standing than like a really chaotic emergency department. You know, monitors are blaring, stretchers are rushing past, and a patient walks in, clutching their chest.
Yeah, and in that exact moment, the attending physician has maybe minutes to risk stratify acute coronary syndrome.
Right. They have to sort out a deadly myocardial infarction from, well, yesterday's spicy tacos. So welcome to our deep dive into the high-stakes diagnostic algorithms of chest pain.
It's a fascinating topic because, honestly, the margin for error is razor thin here. Doctors are forced to make these rapid life or death decisions, but the physical clues are, well, they're notoriously deceptive.
I mean, the sources show that the whole cinematic Levine sign, you know, clutching the center of the chest, pain shooting down the left arm, that's actually the exception, right?
Oh, absolutely. Relying on that classic Hollywood image gets people killed.
Wow.
Yeah, because diabetics, the elderly, and women, they often present without a single trace of chest pain. They might just complain of sudden shortness of breath or profound fatigue.
Wait, so no chest pain at all?
Exactly. For diabetics in particular, prolonged high blood sugar causes neuropathy. So it effectively short-circuits the cardiac pain receptors. The heart muscle is dying, but the brain never gets the pain signal.
So it's like having a house fire where the smoke detector's wiring has just melted. You don't hear the alarm, you just eventually smell smoke.
That's a really good way to put it.
Okay, let's unpack this. If the physical symptoms are such unreliable liars, how do ER doctors confidently rule out the big three killers like ACS, pulmonary embolism, and aortic dissection?
Well, they have to shift away from subjective symptoms and look at objective data. When the nervous system lies, doctors look for the chemical debris left behind by dying tissue.
Which brings us to troponin IFNA. But looking at the timeline of troponin release in the sources, there is a pretty glaring problem.
All right, the timing.
Yeah, here's where it gets really interesting. The literature states it takes 3 to 6 hours for troponin levels to become detectable after ischemia begins. If I'm having a heart attack right now, isn't that way too slow to save my life?
What's fascinating here is that you're totally right if we're talking about old testing methods. A single point-in-time test is practically useless for an early-onset infarction.
So what do they do instead?
Well, that's why the protocol mandates serial testing with high-sensitivity assays. We aren't looking for a static threshold anymore. We're tracking the delta.
The delta, you mean like the rate of change? Measuring the velocity of the cell death.
Exactly. Think of it more like measuring an expanding blast radius. These newer high-sensitivity tests catch microscopic changes in the blood within just 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, wow. That's fast.
It really is. So if the initial baseline troponin is just slightly elevated and then 2 hours later it spikes by 20%,
right,
the doctor knows the injury is actively evolving.
But even with an evolving chemical alarm, isolated lab values don't make a definitive diagnosis on their own, right? The sources emphasize that troponin dynamics have to be fed into the patient's broader physiological profile.
Right, and that synthesis happens through the heart score.
Which is basically the ER cheat sheet.
Pretty much, yeah. It mathematically balances history, ECG, age, risk factors, and initial troponin. The genius of the heart score is how it weighs subjective narratives, like a vaguely concerning medical history, against hard objective data.
Like the ECG changes and those troponin deltas we just talked about.
Exactly.
So by assigning specific points to each of those five categories, it filters out the noise of, say, anxiety or muscle cramps to isolate the actual ischemic signal.
Right, and it generates a highly reliable prediction of a major adverse cardiac event, or MACE, within 30 days.
What kind of scores are we looking at here?
So a score of 0 to 3 translates to an incredibly low probability of an event. That clears the patient for safe discharge.
Okay, and if it's higher?
Once the score hits 4, 5, or higher, the probability curve steepens sharply. That triggers an immediate cardiology consult and admission.
So it literally replaces a panicked guessing game with a calculated algorithmic risk profile. For you listening, surviving the ER chest pain puzzle really comes down to the synergy. It's about relying on the heart score's algorithmic synthesis and tracking dynamic troponin changes, rather than just waiting for classic physical symptoms to show up.
Yeah, the algorithm is powerful. But, you know, it does leave us with one glaring blind spot.
Oh.
Troponin I actually remains elevated in the blood for up to 14 days after an initial heart attack.
Wait, really? So if a patient suffers a second infarction, say 3 days later, that chemical alarm bell is already blaring at maximum volume from the first attack.
Exactly. The alarm is already ringing.
Since the troponin is still high, how would an ER doctor diagnose a new heart attack through all that biochemical noise? Keep that in mind the next time you think about the sheer complexity of emergency medicine.